I was as we prepared the radio broadcast for this Thanksgiving season, I thought, you know, we need to go back and really take a good look again at what it really means to celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, I know everybody in this room understands that we are to maintain and sustain an attitude of gratitude toward the Lord. That's not a little cliched rhyme. It is an important part of our spiritual life. I want to read to you this morning from Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at a negative first. Be the title of the radio broadcast, as with a past sermon that we never completely got deep down into. We're going to try to touch on this morning. I could read literally scores of scriptures about giving thanks and thanksgiving. We could just have a Bible study that would take a month if we just begin to deal with the subject of thanksgiving, and particularly with gratitude and how many things are tied into that. There's a lot more into that than just saying, just thank you, Lord, you know, at the dinner table, and giving a little thank you to the Lord here and there. This is something that is supposed to be sustained as a heart attitude constantly toward the Lord. It's easy to forget your blessings. It's easy to forget to count your blessings. I love the great song, Count Your Many Blessings, count them one by one, and you would be amazed at what the Lord has done. If we stop complaining about our immediate problems long enough to count the blessings that God has given us in our life, amen, you probably would be amazed at how good God has actually been to you. But we tend to zero in on the immediate problem, the immediate pressure, instead of all the many blessings. Have you ever had a narrow escape from an auto accident where you just felt like somehow an angel of the Lord had just saved your bacon? And I'm not talking about that in the bag in the back seat from Walmart either. Can you say amen? I'm talking about your hide, Clyde. Can you say amen? God has intervened in your life. You know, the devil desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. We take that. I like to get into word studies and clearly understand a scripture. But when Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat, in the specific sense, we think of Peter and the temptation he was going to go through when under pressure he denied the Lord, and how Satan wanted to destroy him through that. But the actual Greek word for you means you all. And I'm not talking about a southern colloquialism on it either. I'm talking about the fact that in the actual Greek, you heard that the way they heard that. When Jesus spoke it, he talked about all the disciples, not just those, but all that would ever believe on him. And that includes us today. Satan has desired to have all of you, is literally the way that would read. Amen. That he may sift all of you as the wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter, and all of you. Isn't it good to know that Christ's intercession is not for one particular person? God is no respecter of persons. Can you say amen? And that Jesus intercedes for you and he intercedes for me. It's one of the things that I'm so thankful for. I've heard teaching that if my faith wavers, or if I falter in my stand for the Lord, that God somehow is going to turn his back until I get my faith way up here and get my act together. No, he begins immediately. Christ intercedes for me. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our weakness, our infirmity, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Can you say amen? But he felt and experienced everything in the whole human family that you could possibly ever feel or experience. He never gave in to discouragement. He never gave in to anger. He never gave in to any of these things that we give in to that lead us to sin. He never gave in to worry. He never gave in to fear. But he felt all of these things. He didn't get brokenhearted and then get bitter as a result of it. But he felt all of those things. He felt the pull of it. And he knows the weakness of our flesh to cope with it all. So we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's one of the reasons that we need to constantly find stuff to be thankful for. David said in Psalm 103, that's not our text yet, but he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And then he began to zero in on some stuff. "Who forgives all of thine iniquities." Everybody say, "Forgives all of my iniquities." And that means if the plumbing fails this morning, I am forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I can zero in on the fact that I had a bad problem just before church, or I can zero in on the fact that my sins are forgiven. And I'm going to tell you something. When I zero in on the fact that my sins are forgiven, if the whole house flooded and I'm going to heaven instead of hell because of grace and mercy from Jesus Christ today, if the house burns to the ground, if I didn't have any insurance, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. Can you say amen? It's funny how that puts things in a different perspective. The worst thing that could happen here on earth, amen, can't compare with what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Amen? So David said, "I'm going to start with the big stuff as a reason for a constant incentive to be thankful and give God praise." And all of this praise is coming out of gratitude. All of this worship is coming out of thankfulness. Amen. "He's forgiven all of mine iniquities. I am so grateful to God. So bless the Lord." What happens when you're thankful like that? "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." And how's he do it? Do we sing song 305 out of the hymnal for the 3,005th time, and everybody mouths the words to something their heart no longer appreciates or appropriates anymore? Amen. And there's something lost in it. Do we just watch the all jazzed up, juiced up praise team that comes bouncing out to lead us into praise, and you know, and we all, you know, kind of get going with them a little bit, but our own heart isn't feeling that overflow? And to be honest with you, their heart may not feel it either. It's their job on Sunday morning. Thank you for the hearty amens. It is their job. Yes. Praise team is supposed to praise.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you're going to look pretty obvious if you don't, standing up here in front of everybody. And if you don't, you do look obvious, by the way. You stand out. But all of that can be something we just do. But when the heart really overflows, when the heart really overflows, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me." David knew that God wanted authenticity. Amen. And that's why David said, "You know something? We can follow protocol, decorum. This ark is coming back to Israel. That means God is going to be our provider and protector." Can you say amen? This symbol of God's provision and protection is being brought back. Amen. If an enemy comes up, we go get the ark. If it don't rain, we go pray where the ark sits. Can you say amen? Because God said, amen, concerning that ark of the covenant, which is representative of his love and grace covenant with Israel, he said, "If the rains don't come and there's a drought and you make your prayer toward my temple where the ark is," he said, "I'm going to send the gentle rains to you. I'm going to provide for you." What happens when an enemy comes up? Go get the ark. What happens when you've got an insurmountable situation like the walls of Jericho? Go get the ark. Can you say amen? What happens when there's a river that you can't cross to get over into the promised land? Go get the ark. Can you say amen? The priests carried the ark. When they touched the waters stood up as they carried the ark across. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Claim the covenant benefits and blessings of God is what that really means. Praise God. So David said, "I've got a covenant keeping God. And part of that covenant is that if I repent, he'll forgive my sin. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me." And when the ark comes back, David uses that "all that's within me" attitude toward God in terms of gratefulness. He said, "I want to show God how grateful I am." Amen. For his covenant of grace toward Israel and the restoration of people who in their folly and foolishness and rebellion had lost the ark, in their compromise had lost it in battle, but God himself is delivering the ark back to them. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Amen. And David said, this is so extraordinary. We don't deserve this kind of mercy and grace. We blew it. It's our fault. Our sin got us into our circumstance. But God is keeping a love covenant with us. And the ark that we thought the Philistines would either destroy or hold as a war trophy, it's coming home to Israel. Can you say amen? God has done it. He's showing his love again. God is a God of restoration. Amen. You know the story of Shiloh? That's when the ark was lost. Do you know the story of how it was lost? There's a priest, and the priest is letting his sons go into the temple and offer strange fire. Remember when we talked about worship being according to God's prescription? And once you get his prescription, you're not to use that prescription for worship for any other reason. You're not to do anything. This is all holy stuff. Amen. We're to offer praises that are acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. We're very, very foolish if we think that man-made religion can somehow satisfy the demands of a God who has set it down in his word. Amen. He wants it from the heart. He desires truth in the inward parts. All the pomp and ceremony, forms and formalities. Amen. Catechisms and creeds without the heart being absolutely involved, God rejects. Man looks at the outward appearance. Boy, religions look like they're practicing some great thing unto God, but God looks beyond all of that, directly into the heart. I was sitting, and it could have been a preacher. Do not take this wrong if you're Catholic. I criticize Protestants as well. We fail too. We mess up too. We all mess up. But I was sitting with a Catholic priest preparing for a funeral because part of the family was Catholic, part was Protestant. So they had a big fuss over who was going to conduct the funeral. Well, they said, I thought it was pretty good wisdom. They brought in a priest and they brought in a Protestant pastor. And so I sat in the room back there preparing. He was going to take the first part. I was going to take the second part. We were going to share equally in the funeral. And I always like to get alone and prayerfully prepare because really this is not just a eulogy for the person who is dead. It's an opportunity to talk to the people that are yet alive, that can still make those eternal choices. Amen. To tell them God's plan of salvation. Amen. How wonderful and powerful the gospel is to save, and how important it is that we deal with that issue of heaven and hell, life and death, because that's exactly what the issues are. So I approach it prayerfully because I know there's people out in that audience that may not even ever go to a church, may never, certainly not going to come where I'm preaching, but they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ at that funeral. Amen. It's going to be brought into it. You ask a Christian minister to do a funeral, you're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is what I came to bring. But I was sitting there and I was trying to, you know, I was just prayerful. Reading some scripture, sitting in the room, I'd introduce myself, and I'm sitting there with the guy, and it could have been any other minister, any other clergyman from Lutheran, could have been anybody. So don't take this as just a Protestant Catholic thing. We're just sitting there together, and he said, "It's about time to start, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess they must be waiting on someone." He's fidgeting. I noticed the whole time he's fidgeting. He's got a little black book he's going to read from, so he's not praying, he's not preparing. He's just, you know, I thought he's very confident and competent, or else he's just, you know, but he's fidgeting. He says, "Boy, I wish they would come on. I wish they would come on." He said, there's a sports event this afternoon. Then we will be able, I'll be home in time to catch this event. He said, "Boy, I wish they would come on." And I knew what he was doing. He's going to abbreviate his remarks. He's going to get it done as quickly as he can, say what needs to be said. Let's get it on so I can get home, prop my feet up. It's Saturday afternoon. I want to see the sports event. And I thought, all of those people out there are headed for either heaven or hell. And they're one heartbeat away from either heaven or hell. Obviously, amen, that sports event had become more important than where people spend eternity at that funeral. And I thought, he's going to read a prepared statement out of a little black book that he's read 100 times before. And the idea is, this has to be done. Let's get her on so we can go do something that's really fun. And I thought, oh God, I am so glad to be a Holy Ghost preacher. Because there's nothing on television, nothing on Broadway, nothing in Las Vegas, nothing in Disney World. There's nothing taking place on this planet. Are you listening to me? More important than where a man or a woman spends eternity. Can you say amen? I was glad I wasn't just a hired clergyman. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm glad I was a God-called minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because my heart was so full. I feel a deep responsibility, amen, to at least expose people to the gospel of Jesus Christ when they're faced with the reality of death. What a time, amen, to tell them that God loves you and he doesn't want you lost and he's sent his son to die for you. Can you say amen? And the hope that we have as Christians, no wonder David said, here's why I am thankful in all things at all times, because he has forgiven all of my iniquity. And I want to praise him with everything that's in me for that great gift, because that gift doesn't just determine whether I'm in with God or out with God. It determines whether I'm going to spend eternity in heaven's bliss or hell's torment. And for that, I am eternally grateful that I am forgiven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My bathroom is flooded, but I am forgiven. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David knew how to pour it on, because he sustained this gratitude. You could oh, magnify the Lord in me. Why? Because why? Because he forgives all your iniquities. This is not just a church thing. I am a forgiven man. I want to express my appreciation for the fact that I, who deserve judgment, has been given grace and mercy. Psalm 32 is one of his reasons for thankfulness. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Can you say amen? Blessed. You know what blessed means? Everywhere you read it in the Old Testament, you know what it means? Happy to be envied. Everybody say, happy to be envied. Say it again, happy to be envied. Hallelujah. How many people in here have been forgiven your iniquity? Then the Bible said you are blessed, which means you are to be number one in spite of all the little stuff. And in light of the big stuff that God has done for you, everything is little stuff. So your car was totaled, but you survived. That's little stuff. So your car was totaled and you're in a wheelchair for the rest of your life, but you're not. Here's the good side. You want to hear the bright side of that? You're not going to live long anyway. You ain't going to be in that wheelchair forever. You're going to live somewhere else forever, and there's no wheelchairs up there. Can you say amen? And if you don't believe you can praise God in a wheelchair, ask Joni Erickson, who is paralyzed from the neck down, who has a wonderful, handsome husband. And she acquired him as a paralytic. And they had struggles, but their love and the love of God, and both of them as Christians, took them through their early struggles. And, oh, she's got a wonderful child of this marriage. And she's got a powerful radio ministry. Because when Joni says you can make it, hallelujah, amen, drawing pictures with her teeth, amen, then it kind of makes the rest of us feel convicted about complaining, because she's so full of thankfulness and love for God. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Joni Erickson loves God. Joni Erickson loves life. Joni Erickson, sure, she wishes she had a body like yours. Amen. But some of us with perfect bodies don't. We're crippled somewhere else.
Amen.
We're crippled on the inside. Some emotional hang-up, some bad memory, some unforgiveness, some hurt, some grudge. Amen. Some reason for feeling like God hasn't been faithful or life hasn't been good to us. When in fact, God is faithful. And since you're not in the wheelchair paralyzed, life has been pretty good to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Gratitude is important. They lost the ark. Now David says, all that's in me, in Psalm 103, verse 1, all that's in me, I'm convinced that what happens on Sunday morning as a rule is not all that's in us. And in many churches, I know it's not all that's in them. You get more emotion out of some of them, and we're not just talking about emotional. Emotion is a result of an inward attitude. Can you say amen? When you get angry, you start on the inside, not on the outside. Long before people see your mean eyes cutting at them, it is started on the inside. Can you say amen? Before your face reflects it, it didn't just happen on your face on the outside. It happened in on the inside. Can you say amen? Amen. That smile that brightens your face just like yours. I wish I had a camera this morning, not to span the audience. We wouldn't span the audience. They'd think we were too small to be significant. Amen. And let's just let them listen, and they'll just think we have 800 or 900 people. Amen. We would zero in on that smile because the Bible said the eyes of him, or the countenance of him who is joyful, rejoices the heart of others. Can you say amen? Some people have infectious joy. Others have infectious depression. They'll bring you down in 15 minutes. I heard Jimmy Swaggart tell the story, and it was just a story. I didn't take it seriously. It wasn't meant to be, but he was talking about how we affect one another, and you got to be pretty strong around some folk, amen, to keep the victory if you hang out with them very long. And he said there was a man in Louisiana, and he was going across the bridge over a bayou, and there was a guy standing on that bridge looking down into the water. His car was parked over to the side, and he looked like he was pondering jumping. And the guy stopped and thought, I want to see if that guy got car trouble or what his problem is, because he wasn't just looking into the water. He climbed over the guardrail and was standing on this side on a little bitty ledge looking down into the water. And so the guy stopped, and in his great compassionate heart, he walked over to him and he said, sir, I hope you're not contemplating what I think you're contemplating. Surely it can't be that bad. And the guy said, why don't we talk about this? Can't we talk about this? And so the guy kind of became untense, and he backed up to the safety of the guardrail. He's still on the other side of it. And he began to tell his life story. And he began to dwell on all the terrible things that had happened to him. And by the time he was through, they both jumped in. There are people that can bring you down. They make it their business. They refuse joy. They absolutely refuse joy. But I'm going to tell you something. When you become a Christian, amen, your sins have been forgiven. I don't want you to ever forget that. It don't matter what kind of complaint that you are filing. I still believe when we get to heaven, we are going to see some things that John described, but there's something he probably didn't tell us about, and I believe is there. I'm saying this facetiously, but I do believe there's streets of gold. I do believe there's a river clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God, and it's called the river of life. I believe there are trees on either side of the river, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe there's 12 foundations, amen, and 12 foundation stones, and the gates are of a solid pearl. And I believe in a great royal throne and one who sits upon it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, that the angels cry holy to. And I believe at his right hand, amen, is Jesus our Savior, praise God, interceding for us. And I believe at his left hand is a huge waste bin. And I believe every complaint, And every gripe that he hears from his people, he promptly wads up and throws in the waste bin. That's refuge. That's rubbish. But every time, I love that song by Keith Green, "When I Hear the Praises Start." But when I hear the praises start, but when I hear the praises start, I want to rain on you. Can you say, man, at midnight Paul and Silas could have prayed and complained, but they chose to do something different. They maintained their gratitude no matter what. Amen. And the Bible said, amen, that they praised, they prayed and sang praises to God. And while they were singing those praises, God shook that prison. I don't believe faith is complete until you praise God. I don't believe making petition is enough. Standing on the word is enough. Claiming the promise is enough. Claiming the covenant is enough. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe prayer is complete until you praise God. I don't believe faith is complete until you praise God. If you really believe God's got it, praise him for it. If you really believe he's going to do it, praise him for it. Can you say amen? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I believe my son's going to be saved, so this morning I'm going to praise him for it. Can you say amen? Not going to wait till he comes through that door. Not going to wait till he kneels at that altar. I'm going to praise him for it. Can you say amen? How long are you going to do that before you give up? I'm not going to give up. Haven't you heard? Christians don't give up. Because Christians always have hope. Because Christians always have God. Hallelujah. I may be dead and gone when he comes in, but my prayers are in the throne room. John was walking through the throne room of God, and he looks over and he sees golden vials filled with odors. Incense-like odors in these golden vials preserved in the presence of God's throne. And he said, wow, look at all of those receptacles filled with odors, these golden vials filled with odors. What are they? Angel said, oh, that's the prayers of the saints. So if you think your prayer went up and kind of evaporated, you're wrong. That prayer was captured, the essence of it put in court and sat in the presence of Almighty God. He's always, listen, almsgiving came up as a memorial before God. God said, I got to bless that man. I can't forget him. I got to do something about Cornelius. He can't give like that and be so generous without it coming up as a memorial before me. Our prayers come up before God. And they stand in his presence. There are children that have came to God after the mamas and daddies went on to be with the Lord that prayed for them. But their prayer stayed in the presence of God. Every prayer you've ever prayed from the heart, amen, is kept and preserved in the presence of God. Hallelujah. So if you think anything like that was in vain, you are sadly mistaken. And I do mean sadly mistaken. Can you say amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And forget not. This is the reason for that constant grateful heart that brought all of this wonderful praise from David. Forget not his benefits. In one scripture, David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? What will I give God? What can I give God? You know, we're getting into the Christmas season. What would you get Donald Trump if you had to get, if you drew his name at your Christmas party? You know he's coming to Dale's party. You just know. Or not Dale's, but Sherry's. And Dougie Doug's. Dougie Doug is decorating even now, getting ready for the party. I don't even know if they're going to have one this year. They may be tired, but now they're on the spot. I'm just kidding. If they don't have it, it would be fine. They've had it so many times, been such wonderful hosts. But what if Donald Trump showed up? And we drew names. And you had to get the Donald something for Christmas. Get him a nativity set. Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about a gift of provision. How do you buy for somebody who has everything? And above that, how do you give God something? You know what God said about the sacrifices he prescribed in Psalm 50? You know what he said? He said, when you bring those sacrifices without a true heart of thanksgiving that results in praise unto me, when you bring me all these sacrifices that I prescribed to offer unto me, in other words, I told you about them. I told you how to offer the sacrifices. But when the heart isn't filled with gratitude and you bring them and go through everything I prescribe, but the heart isn't filled with gratitude. He said, if you think you're satisfying some need in me, you're wrong. You can't give me anything I need because I'm self-sufficient, self-sustaining. I don't need you to do something for me to be who I am. He's God Almighty. Can you say amen? And so he said, I want to put it the way you can understand it. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. So if you think you bring that big ox and throw him on the altar and say, look what I gave God, that you're really giving me something. No, it's the attitude that you brought it with, not the thing you laid on the altar. It's that heart of thanksgiving I'm looking for. It's that gratitude I'm interested in. Amen? He said, if I was hungry, because they were bringing it without that attitude, and he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you because I own all the hills and all the cows that's on them. I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. So if I was hungry, believe me, I wouldn't tell you. Number one, I'm not hungry. Number two, if I was, you couldn't fill my appetite. Said the same thing when they built the best church that's ever been built for God. They built that sucker so big, amen, so wonderful. There's never been one like it in the history of anything built for him. And believe, talk about the Christian Cathedral. Talk about some of these big edifices, the St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, amen, with the Sistine Chapel with the paintings on it. God said there ain't nothing like this and there'll never be another one like it on this planet. This thing was gold and this thing was tapestry. David gave tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars out of his personal treasury toward the building, or Solomon did, toward the building of this temple. There'd never been nothing like that. And they all walked in and said, boy, if there's anything that says we respect and reverence God and love him, look at this thing. And they walked into this place that would knock your eye out. Gold, tapestry. Even the people that worked in carpentry said the Spirit of the Lord came on them to build this thing for him. They were anointed to saw wood like I'm anointed to preach. Wow! Isn't that incredible? He walked in this multi-million dollar, billion dollar temple, and it is cold and empty. God hasn't showed up, hasn't tipped his hat to it all yet. Because unless that attitude's in the heart, you can't build nothing that impresses him. In fact, when he saw people trying to do that through dead, lifeless religion, you know what he told them? He said, the heavens are my throne. That's where I sit. The whole heavens is my throne. And the earth, oh, glad you brought up that little spinning blue marble of yours down there. The heavens is my throne, and guess what the earth is? My footstool. And he says, okay, now impress me. Come on, the heavens are my throne. The earth is where I rest my feet. Impress me. Build something down there that impresses me. Where's the house you'll build for me? That's it. It's right here. He said, you can't build anything to even get me to give it a second look until something in the heart opens to me. Because the next verse says, to whom will I look then? If you can't build anything to impress me, to whom will I look? Even to him that is of a humble and contrite spirit that trembleth at my word. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God has always wanted to live in the human heart, in the life. Amen. Church is where the temple comes to worship. You didn't hear me. I said church is where the temple comes to worship. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why holiness is still the message that needs to be preached. Until our bodies cease to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, then we're supposed to teach holiness in church. Can you say amen? Because the Bible said, since God's going to live in you, keep that temple holy. Amen. Give me a little better amen. I won't have to harp on that and we can move on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Preach holiness to this generation. They think you're some kind of old fundamentalist fuddy-duddy. Amen. Holiness is God's unalterable standard. Holiness represents spiritual wholeness. No one is whole unless we become holy. Holy is not sinlessly perfect. It is what it is. It means we have been sanctified. We have been set aside, cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. Everybody say, cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. Amen. God indwelling you is a pretty holy purpose, wouldn't you say? Amen. It took a cleansing of the blood to make your inward man holy enough for him to come in and feel at home in you, as at home in you as he does in heaven. Someone said God has two thrones, one in the highest heaven and the other in the lowest heart. Hallelujah. Who will I look? He that has a humble and contrite spirit that trembles at my word. I will show favor. She has my attention today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's that great temple with everything. The greatest house there's ever. Never been one before it. Never one after it. Nothing we've done compares with that. In terms of cost, lavishness, loveliness. By the way, when the people built that thing, it said they did it with a willing heart. That's why I don't take offerings. Because if it's not coming from a willing heart, you can't be blessed, even if we get your dough. You can't be blessed till it's not extracted like a dentist taking a tooth out. By the way, the dentist doesn't just extract your teeth. He extracts your wallet as well. I love my friend that I work with, and I guess they talked about the cost of taking his grandson to the dentist while his mama was out of work, and they discussed it and said, he's got to go. He's got a tooth that's loose and it won't come out. We've got to go to the dentist. Well, you know, it's very expensive. And she was out of work, laid off, raising a single mother, raising a child. And I love children's candidness when they took him in. I just tell it over and over again because it makes me smile. And they take this little 5-year-old kid in and sit him in the dentist chair. Amen. And the dentist comes in, you know, and looks at him and says, well, how are you today, young man? And he says, my mama's out of work and we're flat broke. God doesn't want to extract praise from us. He doesn't want to extract an offering from us. He doesn't want to extract our lives. Amen. He wants us to do a willing thing, to offer willingly before the Lord because of our gratitude. Amen. He that's forgiven much, what does he do? He expresses gratitude. How does he do it? He loves lavishly. Everybody say he loves lavishly. He loves much. Can you say amen? And by the way, you were forgiven much. He that offends, you got to get down in this thing and understand, amen, it took as much blood to save you. Your little sin was as much offense to God Almighty, amen, as the sin of Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. Can you say amen? It took just as much blood and sacrifice to save you of your little sin as it did her and her big sin, because the Bible said he that sins in one point of the law is guilty of how much of the law? All of it. There are no big sinners and little sinners. We categorize it. That's a big sin. Boy, that's a big sin. Oh, that's just a little look over sin. No big deal sin. Sin is sin. There's 10 commandments called the law. I look at it as a chain. When my dad used to pull me in because I didn't have AAA, didn't know what it was, couldn't afford it if I did know what it was. So when I broke down, I called my daddy. Triple D. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Can you say amen? Come get me. Well, he'd come get me with old rusty chain. Amen. And it wouldn't matter which link in that chain broke. If all of them broke at one time, two of them broke, six of them broke, or just one of them broke. The moment a link in the chain broke, we are disconnected. And what God is saying is sin separates between me and you. Big ones. There's earthly consequences that are different. But the consequences of between us and God, all it takes is one point. And no one kept the first commandment perfectly. They don't even have to go down the list. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with how much? All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your spirit, everything. Have we broke it? Yeah, absolutely. The day you thought of yourself instead of others, you broke it. And we fight that battle onwardly, don't we? That's why it says onward, Christian soldiers, you soldiers of the cross. Thankfulness, gratitude is what he's after. They go in this temple with all of its glory, and they say, let's thank the Lord. Let's give him honor. See, praise comes from hearts that are filled with gratitude. So the priests begin to praise God in that big, beautiful place. No expression of the presence of God yet. The priests begin to praise God. They that sang, the people appointed to sing, begin to give praise to God. And they that blew the trumpets begin to use their instruments to give praise unto God. And all the congregation then joined them in giving praise unto God. Till the voice of the priest, the voice of the singers, the voice of those who blew the trumpets, and the voice of the congregation became as one in praise to the Lord. What happened at that moment when everyone became involved in expressing gratitude through worship and praise? What happened at that moment? The Bible said, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Till the priests, all their itinerary, all of their dedication stuff, all the protocol, the priests could not minister by reason of the glory. They said, God is here. Everything we planned is over. God has shown up in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of the praise, God showed up. I said, God showed up. Wouldn't it be something if God showed up at church on Sunday morning across America? Hallelujah. And our little, neat, appropriate Thanksgiving sermon couldn't be finished because God interrupted it with his glory, and people got saved, and people got healed, and people got set free. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be something if God showed up in St. Peter's Basilica? And the Holy Church of God. And the Crystal Cathedral. Can you say amen? If God, we know celebrities are going to show up. We see them every Sunday. What would happen if God showed up? Amen. And the preacher fell down on his face and began to cry out, woe is me because I'm undone. By the way, you'll come undone if God shows up too. Amen. Yeah, some of you stuffy ones, some of you starchy ones, you come unglued if you ever meet the living God. Can you say amen? Yes, you will. I can tell you haven't met him yet. You don't know who he is, what he's all about. You think we're just over-emotional, amen, crazy cats out here. Can you say amen? No, you meet the living God, it's going to affect you. It's going to change you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You're going to forget about all of your pride and all of your self-consciousness. Consciousness.
Wow. So David says that this ark comes back to the temple. We have restored blessings. We need to have a great service of thanksgiving. We need to have this one sing the solo. We need to have those people play on the harps. We need to have the Secretary of State come and read a prepared statement appropriate to the occasion. And then the king himself will come in all of his royal attire, and the trumpets will sound, and all eyes will be upon the king as he descends from his great golden throne. And he will have a few words to say about the greatness of God as all eyes are upon the king ascending from his throne. Why don't we take some rose petals and sprinkle them where the king is going to walk? There's not enough gold. Aren't there any more rings in my treasury? I only have rings on four of my fingers. I notice that I have five fingers on this hand. Isn't there an ornament for my thumb, maybe? Because all eyes will be on the king as he descends from his throne and humbly thanks God for the blessings he hath bestowed upon all of Israel. And God says, pish posh. Phooey. And David knows that's what God is like. He knows what God is after. He desires truth in the inward parts. So true worshipers, amen, it's imperative that we worship him in spirit and in truth. God's not interested in how demonstrative you are. He's looking even past your demonstrativeness. The dance of David would mean nothing if he wasn't already dancing in his heart. Some of you dance better in your heart than on your feet anyway. And I'm one of them. I don't want to ever see myself go into a dance. It's holy, but it ain't pretty. I didn't learn this at some school, Madam So-and-So's school of light-footedness. Danced with Pamela, she says, ow. And I thought she was saying, wow. David took off his royal attire. He said, I don't want the spotlight on me. It's not about me today. It's not about the king of Israel. It's not about having some day where we put a bunch of stuff in it and say it's for God. This is delight. This is joy. This is an all that's in me moment. Can you say amen? This is an all that's in me moment. Everybody say an all that's in me moment. I see people do it over a Maytag washer and dryer. Way back in Let's Make a Deal. Do you remember that? I want what's behind door four. And they open door four. And lo and behold, there is a shiny, spanking new Maytag washer and dryer. And some housewife, some poor housewife, looking at that washer and dryer, said, woo! 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 And everybody says, you go, girl. You got yourself a washer and dryer, and it's okay. But if you think about the fact that you're saved and healed and delivered and going to live forever in heaven and sitting around church, and one Sunday you go, woo! Everybody looks at you like you're some kind of crazy religious lunatic. Save that for the washer and dryer. You in church now. One thing that I was told when Scotty Drake used to pastor this church, he was evidently a very influential pastor in this city. We have doctrinal issues, but he pastored that church down there, and it was full when he pastored it. And we had a lady came to our church. Lisa was telling me this story before they came to our church. Becky Short, amen. She was demonstrative. Sometimes she just wanted to stand up and holler in the middle of a sermon when it really got down into her spirit. And she was in Scotty Drake's church over there, First Baptist on the corner here, you know. Amen. And right in the middle of a sermon, he was preaching good. And if you Pentecostal and got the Holy Ghost, somebody started preaching good, it could happen. Things could happen. Can you say, man, stuff can happen. I was preaching a homecoming service some years back at the First Baptist Church in Plant City, a Black Baptist church, for their homecoming and Pastor's Appreciation Day. I started praying for people, or preaching rather, right in the middle of the preaching. Amen. They thought that I lost my place and mumbled. I wasn't trying to suppress the spirit. I just didn't want to run everybody off so they didn't hear the sermon. And Becky, holler, hallelujah! And everybody in the church, whoa! Whoa! Two deacons ran for her. Because you know what's going to happen now. If the guy at the Gate Beautiful had got healed and ran into some churches leaping and praising God because he had just been healed outside the door by the power of God, you know what would happen? They would grab, they would clothesline him halfway down the aisle. Amen. Grab him by the collar and drag him shouting and dancing all the way out. We do not allow that in here. I understand not interrupting the service. I understand giving due reverence. But boy, when God shows up, when God moves, gratitude is the order of the day expressed in joyous, boisterous praise, lavishing love on him. Can you just lavish with our love for him and our thankfulness unto him? And they two deacons went for her, Lisa said. And Scotty Drake from the pulpit said, let her alone. Maybe that's why the Lord blessed that ministry. Let her alone. 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 Come on, there's some holy stuff. You just, if you don't understand it, pray about it. But don't suppress every expression of joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Because in the Bible, you can't read the Bible and not find it. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. He took off his royal garments. There was an undergarment, and it was like a robe as well. He pulled it up, had to dance with all his might. He would have tripped, and he stuffed it in his belt. And here's the king of Israel. Probably kicked his shoes off. And before the ark, there's a man that doesn't look like a king anymore. He looks like the most joyous man you've ever seen, dancing, leaping, praising God. And his wife is sitting up there looking out the window and saying, dear Lord, is that my husband down there? I am the first lady. We have all kinds of dignitaries come in and out of here. They're going to hear about this down in the Philistines are going to hear about it. The stalactites are going to hear about it. Can you say, man, the Hittites, the Uptites, all those tight people are going to hear about this. They're going to disrespect the king of Israel. Look at him making a fool out of himself. Can you say, man? She chided him. And David said, lady, the ark, you don't understand what it means to be in covenant with Jehovah and have the ark come back to its rightful place, what that means to this nation and to me and you personally, to have God, if the rains don't come and we pray toward that place where that ark sits, God's going to send rains on our crops. If an enemy comes up, amen, 2 million strong, God's going to send his war angel and protect us. Amen. You don't understand what it means, woman, to have every sin you've ever committed forgiven. Amen. To have your body healed. Amen. To have your youth renewed. Amen. Like the eagles. You don't understand what it means to have God. Hallelujah. Like we've got God now. Amen. And let me tell you something, lady. If you think this is an offense to you, I will be even more undignified than this.
That's King James from the mouth of David. God struck her with barrenness. You'll never have a child by David. Never have a lineage through you. You don't suppress true expressions of worship coming from the heart and trade them for some kind of put on that you think you're going to impress me with. Amen? So I'm an unashamed. Somebody asked me, what kind of preacher are you? Are you one of those holy rollers? I said, yes. Are you Pentecostal? Are you one of those people who speaks in tongues? Yes. I just want to burst into song. There ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There might be bugs on some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. You know why there ain't no bugs on me? I love the story. I got to tell it this morning. Missionary comes here from South Africa. Back when we were so obsessed with demons and devils, we lost the focus on Jesus and got filled with fear. Amen. Somebody didn't show up to church at our church one time. They just read Pigs in the Parlor, one of those books. And they showed up at church and waiting, supposed to meet somebody there. Amen. To go somewhere from the church, another sister. And it was 10 minutes after the time they were supposed to meet. And the person impatiently was pacing. And I was vacuuming, I think. That day, I went over and I said, are you need anything? And no, I'm just waiting for Sister So-and-so. Said she was going to meet me here 10 minutes ago. She must have a lying spirit. And I thought, oh, Lord, I'd love to go eat with you. Amen. If you're 10 minutes late, you got a spirit of lying. Said you'd be here at 12. We got to cast that sucker out of you. People got obsessed with all this demon stuff, and this guy come from South Africa. He was the son of the witch doctor in a tribe. He was the son of the shaman. He was the son of the guy that had all the black power and black magic. And the people feared his daddy, and he was in training to take over for his dad in the black arts and summoning demons. And an evangelist came there and preached the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. He got saved, and he didn't even have to have the devil cast out of him. He said the devil couldn't live in there with Jesus, so he left. I got filled with the Spirit, and he left. He packed up, and he left. So he come to this nation, and boy, everybody said he used to be the son of a witch doctor. He was into black magic and the black arts. And he said, inevitably, after every service where I gave my testimony, they would come up to me and they would say, oh, did those demons come back and did they come back and now that they have been dislodged, did they come back and they harass you? And in the night, did they come? They were expecting the demons to always be attached or clutching at him. And he said, it just amazed me that Christians that didn't understand what salvation is and what deliverance is and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Like he understood it. And so they would come to him. He said, you know, I got so tired of them coming, I decided to answer the question after every testimony. He said, some of you are wondering, amen, about do I still struggle with those spirits that I summoned up? Do they still come and bother me in the night? Do I have to resist them and reject them and plead the blood before I can go to sleep? He said, I'm going to tell you something. I have no problem with demons and devils because my Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, and he is triumphant over all of that world. Amen. They all bow to his mighty name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, I have peace and I have joy within for what my master has done for me. And he said, so I'm going to tell you right now. He said, so get out your pencil and paper and write this down and do not forget it. He said, if you've been the reason, amen, that the devil doesn't bother me, and the reason demons don't come and harass me, he said, I'm going to put it very simply today. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am filled with the mighty Holy Spirit of God. And listen to this.
and flies don't land on a hot stove. Woo! You didn't hear me. I said flies don't land on a hot stove. Am I right? Yeah, you wish they would, but they won't do it, honey. They feel the heat and go the other way. They'll land on your mashed potatoes. But they won't land on your hot stove. Flies ain't got much sense, but they got that much sense. Fly said, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. We have reason to rejoice. Amen. You know what this preserved word is? This is the old covenant and the new covenant. Amen. We are partakers. This is the ark of the covenant for the New Testament church. We go to battle, we take the sword of the Spirit. We're in the heat of battle, we raise the shield of faith. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving. We won't read this part yet. We'll save that. In fact, we got to stop, but we need to read something. We've quoted so much. God is so gracious. Do you feel like giving Him real, honest to goodness, gratitude? Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but in our life every single day. Psalm 50, will you stand for this reading to let you know we really are going to close? Hallelujah. Did I hand you a praise tape? Number 2, if you will, on that praise tape. Thank you, Father. The mighty God, even the God, the Lord has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God will come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call the heavens from above and the earth that He may judge His people. Where does judgment begin? Always. Consistent. He will judge His people. And where does He look, church? Man looks at the outward. Where does God look? He looks at the heart. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. You consistently practice the tenets of your religion, and I set them for you, and you're doing it. But He said, everything you're putting on that altar has been disqualified. Everything you're putting on this altar has been disqualified. Would you like to know why? To me, it's really important we don't spin our wheels at church. We don't just go and think we've worshiped, go and think we please God. Sit in the pew and watch the preacher and watch the salvation show and think somehow we've honored God. Because where does God look? He looks in here. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? What does He want? What more does God want? Verse 14, are you ready? Are you ready? Offer unto God thanksgiving. pay thy vows unto the Most High. I heard a preacher preach this just about money. You send money, you'll get money. Pay your vow, make a vow and pay it. Paying your vow. You know, I look at paying my vows in a deeper sense. I have been in deep trouble before. Anybody know about deep trouble? And I have cried unto God. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me get through this. And I have made promises. Lord, I'll give you the praise. I'll give you the glory. I'll serve you. My life is yours. Help me, oh Jesus. He says, all right, I delivered you. Now, where's that praise? Where's that glory? Oh, well, I had a bad day. Oh, they talked about me at work. Oh, I got laid off. Well, what did that change about God and His promise and His covenant and His love and what He's done for us on the cross? We change focus, but God still deserves that thanksgiving. Verse 15 says, and when you offer me thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me then in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Can you say amen? I want to jump to the last verse. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that orders His conversation aright, will I show the salvation of my God. You start praising God anyhow. You praise Him for what He's done for you on the cross. You maintain an attitude of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, the New Testament said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everybody here is seeking the will of God on a matter. I don't believe God is going to tell you anything else until you do what is clear in His Word. If you're not willing to obey what's clear in His Word, why do you think you're willing to obey something else He divulges unto you? Why don't you start with being thankful in the morning? Why don't you get up and say, good morning, Lord, instead of seeing how you feel? Because if you see how you feel, you're going to say, good Lord, morning. Can you say amen? But if you get up with your eyes on Jesus, no matter how you feel, you're going to say, good morning, Lord. Amen? And it's going to involve a discipline, but I'm going to tell you, you start praising God, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. I sat weeping, telling my wife about what happened last night at work. When it's no more I that live, but Christ that lives in me. What a joy to surrender to Him and let Him love through you. People that don't love you, that may never thank you, that have done you harm, and yet God loves them. Oh, what a joy when we win. How many people want to have a spiritual Thanksgiving along with your turkey and dressing, all the good things? Amen. Then let's pay our vows. Let's give God the glory. And this coming year, as we continue on, let's come to church armed to the teeth. Here we go, Psalm 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And how are we going to do it? And all that's within me, bless His holy name. Amen. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Praise God. Amen. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Who delivers thy soul from destruction. Can you say amen? Oh, I don't forget the benefits of having a covenant keeping God as your heavenly Father and give Him the praise for it. Can you say amen? Praise Him. Hallelujah. Just praise Him. Praise God. Because day after, His mercies are new every morning. Just let that play. Let's give Him praise. If you have to run off, you can. I would have had to. I almost had to work today, but I thank God at the last minute I didn't. I just had to stay over last night. God is so good to me. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Jesus. Bring it way up. Bring it right up. Let's give Him some praise. Let's